Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and you already heard the last episode. The teacher was going down a little bit, had that little bit of a cough, and then we're sir, you must vacate the premises. But nonetheless, I am here. It is season 249, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast, I almost said? Fine.
I think this is a mix of podcast and podduction.
Or I think I was going to say podiatry for some reason, because I have foot pain, and I was like, I think I need a little foot doctor. Anyway, this is a podcast, where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday!
Yay!
August 12th, 2022. My name is Miles Gray. Oh, wait, shit, it's August 12th. I got to let you know. It's National Julienne Fries Day. And that's not a famous actor. We're talking about Julienne fries. Yes, French fries. Thin. Maybe call them shoestrings. National Middle Child Day. National Vinyl Record Day. I identify with two of the three. I love thin fries. Okay. I'm an only child, so miss me with that. And I love vinyl records because, as you know, my whole thing is when the solar flares hit, vinyl will be king because you will not be able to use your computer. Okay? How about you, Daniel?
Amen. I love a good vinyl record. I love a little licorice pizza, as it were.
You're the oldest. You're the eldest child, aren't you?
I am the eldest. You're the elder. Yes. And there's no middle. It's simply me and my little sister.
Pliny the Elder. Well, good to have you.
Pliny the Elder.
My name is Miles Gray, aka Ball with the blimp. Said up, jump the blimpy. Okay, shout out to Hannah Red McView. I know that's you, Hannah Soltis. Always a pleasure seeing you on the Discord. Yeah, I'm still fucking with blimps. A few people have hit me up. I think in Germany, they're like, my town has a blimp, but it is very expensive to ride. I'm like,
would you like to come out here?
I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Like, if it's guaranteed blimpery, please let me know. but I am also thrilled to be joined, as always. You know, this last week has been, it's been a wild one. Daniel, he's here. Quiet. DJ Daniel, one of the greatest human beings, producers, video gamers, DJs, producers of music podcasts alive.
Oh, geez.
Yes, I already said your name, so it doesn't even matter. DJ Daniel Goodman!
Happy to be here, a.k.a. still RL Daniel Laniel, rooting for my boy, little Daniel, the best 15-year-old Rocket League player in the world. You're going to win it this year, buddy. I believe in you.
Who is that? That's a real person or that's you?
Yeah, his name is Daniel.
Oh, okay.
And he's literally, you know, how every person in esports has some like very, you know, esportsy kind of name. It's
like
Faker
Daniel.
Or it's like, yeah, or it's, you know, Sword Slayer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Sword Art. This guy's name is literally just Daniel.
I love,
you know,
that.
What? I feel kinship.
Yes.
And I gotta root for him. And he's 15. He's this little kid killing it. You can barely see over the desk when he plays. And it's like so adorable.
I love when people absolutely disrespect like the trend of like the naming convention for a given genre. And someone just comes in wild aggressive. They're like Sword Slayer blood. I'm like, I'm little Danny.
I'm Daniel.
Fuck with me. Get served this L, okay?
Fresh. Get served.
I love that.
Happy to be here.
When I was like making beats and stuff, I was trying to earn like MCing. I was going to use the name Teddy Aiken because I was some kid who went to my school and I was like, everybody's like has a real nickname. I was like, I should just be Theodore Aiken. See where the fuck
Theodore
that
Aiken
goes. Felt right.
I like it.
Anyway. Enough about us and our failed music careers. Let's move on to very successful people, which are our guests today. Yes. Or maybe you want to hear more about our failures in music. That could be a whole other podcast. These two are the founders of the Mashup Americans, a media company and boutique creative studio. Maybe you've heard some of their work. They've made podcasts with Peloton. I'm on the bike. Maybe you know Reese Witherspoon. I've heard of her. Or maybe you've heard of their latest podcast, Love and Norebang. Please welcome, a very special guest. Two guests today, Amy Choi and Becca Lehrer.
Woo!
Hey, welcome. Bang, 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 bang. We're here. What's up?
Crowd goes wild.
Wow, it feels really good to be here. I'm ready for some blimp talk, dirigible talk.
I mean, the blimpery. Yes. The blimpery. Yes. That was just, it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank
I feel
you so
like
much.
This is language that can be applied to a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of things in the world that are blimpery.
Yes.
You just look at something. Like,
yes.
Oh,
okay.
What blimpery? Absolutely.
Or like
what
something
blimpery?
We live in the age too of like gigantic like foods and things because we live in America, and you can be like you can refer to like an oversized food thing. You're like, that's just some blimpery.
That's some blimpery, or
absolute
just also
blimpery.
Like people talking too much. Just
yeah.
like the over bloated. Just look at that blimp. Not anything we're doing here.
No,
obviously.
No, not at all. Every word
this
matters.
This is the opposite of blimpery. Yes.
No hot air here.
No,
no.
Exactly. All the fat has been trimmed.
Thank you. Thank
Wait,
you.
I have a question though about Germany. Do we think that in Germany there's like a higher concentration of dirigibles than there are in the U.S.? As we know, there's only 25
right.
in the U.S. Something important
in the world.
We learn.
Oh,
wait,
25 in the world.
Wait.
Yes. 25.
So why does Germany have, is it just because like...
feels very war-like.
Zeppelin? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, that's probably their shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, of course we got the last couple blimps. I'm not letting people appropriate our dirigible culture.
Wait, have you seen the movie Up?
Yes. But
have
that's
we
a... I've only seen the beginning and I got really bummed out.
Oh, it's a sad. Watching. It's sad. I did have to explain miscarriages to my 6 and 3-year-old the other day because of the beginning montage. Yeah. But no, there's a whole dirigible situation in it. Not
oh,
the
I'm
hot
not
air
joking.
Balloon.
I saw the beginning. I was like, yo, this is too heavy for me.
There is a little Hoppa Japanese kid though, who is one of
what?
The main characters. Yes, Russell. You're
See
missing out.
I was completely
huge.
I was
mistake.
Turned off by the tragedy that I missed the representation. Damn, ain't that something? Amy and Becca, how are y'all? Where are you guys at in the world? Where are you coming to us from?
I am in Los Angeles, my hometown.
Hey.
Let's go.
Yes.
Burp, burp, burp,
burp, burp, burp. I am a Los Angeles supremacist, so
wow.
I'm very happy to be here with,
yeah.
with
what part another of, what part of the city are you from?
I'm on the east side. I grew up in Los Feliz, and
okay.
I still live on the east side. I live in Atwater Village.
Okay.
So
heck yeah.
What about you guys?
I'm from North Hollywood.
Yes.
You know, and I stay Valley with it. You know, I'm 818. Forever.
Oh, I did all of my education in the Valley. Oh, yes.
Wow. Look, we have
818.
Oh, yeah. It's no ho all day. Okay, we know.
Mm-hmm. No ho blimpery.
No ho blimpery.
Daniel?
I am a West Hollywood, Hancock Park, Windsor Square, K-Town kind of person.
Oh, yeah.
And I have stayed in the area. I'm a mere a frisbee throw away from the lovely Pan Pacific Park. Oh. Hopefully that's not too revealing for anybody, but there's a lot of neighborhoods around here.
And so people can throw frisbees many varying distances.
Thank you.
Too.
Not me. Very far.
Yeah. But yes, I'm so glad to hear that.
Let's just assume that I can throw a frisbee like a half mile to really not narrow down where I actually am.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah, we don't
love it over here.
The Discord area to find you.
No. They're already... It's their track.
Amy, how about you? Where are you at?
Oh my God. Well, now I'm worried about Daniel getting doxxed. But no. I am in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Where I
718 stand up.
In the 718. I am in I just live south of Prospect Park, which is the best park in all of New York City.
Okay.
And but I love LA. I'm not, you know, I grew up in Chicago, so I'm like a Midwestern Asian. And then the first time I met like LA Asians, I was like, why is everybody so cool? It's too much. Like all the girls rolled up into college with like their red lipstick and their eyebrows. And I was like,
right. But,
I love LA. My husband is Mexican and Colombian. So when our family spends time in Los Angeles, we're just like Koreans and Mexicans. We belong.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like this is our home.
And you were like, you gave me credit. You're like, wait, it's pronounced Norebang right. I'm like, in LA, like passively, you can't fuck up pronouncing Spanish, Korean, like Russian, Armenian, Thai. Mm-hmm. You know, then those are like, you know, gotta respect the dialects of LA, as I call them.
A lot of people.
All right. Well, we're gonna get to know y'all even better, but first, we're gonna tell people what we're gonna be covering today. We're gonna actually have super producer Trisha McCurgy back to tell us a little bit about voter referendums in light of what we saw in Kansas. The voters there said, "Yes, we like rights. We like healthcare. We like body autonomy." So she'll be giving us a little bit more insight into voter referendums, and then we'll talk about the struggle for coitus on the right.
Their struggle for coitus.
I'm so happy they're struggling.
I mean, look, you know it's a problem when we see constant be like, we need an app to solve this. And I'm like, wow, okay, all right.
The
all right,
Uber for coitus.
I'm here for dating Darwinism to play out. You know what I mean? Just see how that goes. But anyway, before all of that, we got to ask our guests, Amy, Becca, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, wow. It says a lot, but I would say my most recent Google search is what is in ranch water.
Oh, yeah. Like the canned ranch water?
Oh, canned ranch water, because I didn't know about it until 2 weeks ago. And I have consumed, I would say, hundreds of ounces of ranch water.
They come in tall boys.
In a tall boy, a Topo Chico ranch water. And then I realized I'm a type of person, which is that like I'm a 40-year-old woman, and so maybe I was late to the hard seltzer game because, since Mike's Lard Lemonade or whatever it was, or what
Zima?
Was Zima?
Zima.
Yeah. Zima. Zima. All praise, you know.
All praise Zima.
To the OG.
I haven't been back there, and I know people are talking about White Claw. I'm sorry. I understand that the Zeit Gang is... I'm delayed. But then suddenly I'm like, do I need ranch water in my life? And the answer is I do. And I want to share that with all with you. That's my most recent Google search.
Took me down.
It is tequila, Topo Chico, and like a little bit of
agave.
Simple syrup or that's it.
So it is. So they can it with tequila, because I thought you have to like label it differently, or is,
you know,
like,
when here's you use a question.
Yeah.
It definitely has alcohol in it.
Yeah.
But
sure. I mean, yeah.
But it's the can.
Let me tell
but
you.
It says tequila flavor. And so, like, what is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I just said, like,
we like to call it vibes water.
We've been calling it
vibes
water.
Yes.
Love it. Our kids were like, what are mommy and Tia Becca drinking? And we were like, vibes water.
Yeah,
just, vibes. We were just having
tall
the vibe.
Boys of vibes water.
Yes. Yeah,
real good.
Agua de vibe.
Okay. Agua de vibe.
Sí,
please. Yeah, please.
Los vives.
Déjame tranquila.
Okay? Oh my God.
But yeah. Oh, shout out to the Texan super producer Becca saying it's ranch water based on the actual cocktail. Look, that's how we get things in LA. Things might be start off places. We're like, when does Topo Chico can it for us?
Yes, correct. My husband did make me thank you, Becca, other Becca, for that, because he did make me a real one the other day. We spent a lot of time researching best ranch. Anyways, that's me. Amy, what is your most recent Google?
Hold on. I'm the host here. Becca, go on about this ranch water.
I'm just Amy, drunk right now. It's Friday morning.
Well, we've had a few ranch waters. My most recent, or one of my most recent, I'll say, because I came across a tweet, and the thing that like soothes my mind, because I'm kind of at the end of the day always looking for some sort of light lobotomy, like a diet lobotomy to calm myself down at the end of the day. Healing lobotomy.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet from the New York City Park Service, which had a picture of a squirrel like on its belly, all four limbs splayed out. And it said that don't worry about city squirrels if you see them like this, because they do this to cool down, and it's called splooting.
Splooting?
Splooting. S-P-L-O-O-T-I-N-G. And I was like, that's not real.
Yeah.
And I Googled it. But it's true. It's what like furry four-legged animals do when they get hot. So like you might see your dog splooting.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen the little pupper sploot.
The splooting is the thing. And I was like,
okay.
But it just gave me great joy.
What's the etymology of sploot?
Well, yeah, because that's I think that splooting is what is the thing when it sounds like what it is?
Onomatopoeia?
Onomatopoeia.
Sploot. It's a sploot.
Yeah.
Sploot. You just splooted.
Yeah. It's like splooted. A blimp.
It's not a
it's like
split.
A blimp.
It ain't a no, split. It's a sploot.
It's a sploot. It's
a split is much more graceful, I feel like. A sploot is different than a splat. A splat is violent. A split is elegant.
A splat feels deadly.
In between.
The sploot is in between. Okay. Oh, that was poetry.
Anyway.
Welcome to our new podcast, Split Splat Sploot.
If anybody needs to do a little sploot later, I won't judge you. It's hot.
Yeah,
it's summer.
It's hot as
we're
shit.
Doing climate things are happening. I was like, God might need to take me because I'm just splooting all over the place.
But you also were Googling dew point, something we didn't know was a measurement until like 3 weeks ago in New York City.
Because when there was like the New York City dew point is now we might all die. Yes.
Right.
I still don't understand what dew point is. I did a lot of Googling, but it's basically something about,
I'm about to do that now.
Light bulbs and like when it's too humid for sweat to evaporate or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway. The dew point in LA is usually like always perfect, and the dew point in New York in July, it turns out, is no bueno. So,
oof.
But leading me to sploot is what what I'm saying here.
Right. Okay. So that's just makes you feel how humid it really feels. It's more like a measure of how we experience it, right? With the higher dew.
Yes. It's like wind chill.
As a function of humidity.
Yes. It's like when growing up in Chicago, that was a big thing. It's like, oh,
right.
It's 40 degrees outside, but it feels like 7. I was like, then it's 7 degrees.
Right.
Why does it matter that you're telling me it's 40?
Why are you telling me
this? Why is this even a thing?
They're like, I mean, it's 85, but with the dew point, it's going to feel like 93. Mm-hmm. And you're like, then what does the first number have to do with anything?
I don't want to be so self-centered, but it's essentially how do I feel is what only thing I care about regarding temperature.
Thank you.
Yes.
I wish like the weather would just be an outfit.
That's correct.
You know, like I don't need to know. I don't really need to know. Like, if you just show me it's tank top and sandal, I go, oh, it's fucking hot. If there's no tank top, I'm like, wait, it's so hot, we have to be nude? Okay, I can go.
And then maybe by the different times of day, it's like you need to add a layer. It has a layer that you need to add.
Oh, like we're going to start off flip-flop sandal. We're going to get to sleeve t-shirts by midday.
Yes.
And then, you know, see that through the rest of the night.
A shawl.
Yeah.
A shawl. What do men do instead of a shawl?
What can we do instead of a shawl?
I don't see like, you know, like I feel like in LA, there's always a throw on of the cardigan or the big scarf.
Oh, yeah, it's
for the
just
girls.
Hoodies. Just hoodies.
Just hoodies.
Yeah, hoodies.
Yeah.
I got a couple light jackets, like some windbreaker type
have
things.
Does LA fall guy? Like, you know, fall, it's like pumpkin spice girl.
We do, but it's mostly people like us who grew up here who have never had seasons. So, we're the meme of like when people are like, oh, when it's 68 in LA and somebody's got like a puffer jacket on.
Yeah.
But shorts.
Yeah.
But shorts as well. Yeah, exactly.
I'll wear shorts, a North Face, and a beanie if I have to, or a toque for my Canadian listeners out there.
Shout out toques.
Shout out toque gang. Also, quickly, before we get started with everything, I want to ask about Mashup Americans. I said, what Mashup Americans? And you talk
are
about
Mashup
it.
Americans.
I know your guide to, as you say, hyphen America. Let people know kind of like what the sort of thrust is of your company, because I think it is very relatable for many people who live in this country.
Yeah, we are an independent media company, and we started off telling stories about race, culture, and identity in America. The company came about because we were looking around at ourselves and all of our friends, like immigrant kids, first and second generation, like in relationships or just like in deep friend groups where everybody came from a different culture. But what really bound us was that we were all people that were navigating multiple cultures. Mm-hmm. And we really believe and have leaned into this belief and have been proven right time and time again that all great culture, great ideas, great art, great leadership, and great creativity comes from these margins where people are navigating multiple areas, are really fluid with their thinking, mm-hmm. and being proven right, being on this show and looking at you, Miles.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Nolz.
I know. Well, look at you and your pronunciation.
A lot of payola to get here.
Oh, but, I paid that $50K
yeah.
to get on here.
I know.
Hey, tell
shout
you
out
about
to my crypto, Zeitcoin. Zeitcoin, y'all, get in. It's not a rug pull. I swear
get
to God.
It's not a rug pull. Yeah, not getting rugged, promise.
But for legal reasons, I have to say it is a rug pull. But now that you know, walk around and find out. Moving on. What is something you both think is underrated?
I think underrated for me is food and strip malls.
Okay.
And I think in Los Angeles, boom. That's the best food that there is, period. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching Street Food, that Netflix show.
Hell yeah.
And the LA episode, I literally wept because it was a celebration of, you know, food in strip malls or on the street. And it was just joy. That the dollar, what is it? Dollar meats. What's that like? That's literally what it is. You get meat for a dollar. Strip mall food is just glorious.
Love that. Hard agree.
This is just speaking straight to my heart. I could not feel this more so. And I appreciate you for bringing it up. Because there's a cultural
oh my goodness,
not even
he's getting fired up.
You
heard him say,
I'm
oh my
sorry
goodness.
I just love this shit so much, but like there's a very light cultural touchstone for this, but it's from a terrible movie. Did anybody see that horrible Zac Efron electronic music movie We Are Your Friends?
Yeah,
because there's a scene in that movie. There's like, you know how people will make like a story point about something that's like a growing up movie, and it's like, but we all did this thing, and then that becomes a story point later in the movie,
right?
That thing in that movie is the best sushi is at a strip mall in North Hollywood.
Mm.
And
right.
I agree with that. But B, that movie should not be the cultural touchstone for that statement.
Yeah.
We need to make that. Becca, right now, you saying that, this is the moment.
This is the moment.
Of the Daily Zeitgeist is the moment where we say respect to our strip mall restaurants because they are so good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
They are
small business centers.
Thank you.
I will give a shout out to a documentary from a couple of years ago, which was about Jonathan Gold, who is
a classic,
City of Gold, which actually follows him across LA. Like basically, I can't remember if it's like Pico or Olympic, but taking it across the city and going to all these different neighborhoods and food places and just
100%.
And just, yeah, it's joyful. What's your favorite spot to eat in a strip mall in LA?
Wow. What a question. What a moment. Oh man. All right. I have two answers because how the hell can I not? Okay. One of my favorite sushi places is in the corner of a strip mall. It's literally like in the corner spot. It used to be called Heroes and Gourmet, but now it is called, they changed the name over the pandemic, Matsumoto.
Mm.
Matsumoto.
Orlando and Beverly. It's really good. But the other one is Sky's Tacos. Sky's Tacos is
Skies?
Fusion soul food and
you're talking on Jefferson?
On Pico.
Or no.
On Pico.
That's, yes, I know what you're talking about. They have, yes, okay.
Soul food, Mexican fusion.
Yeah.
Their crawfish tacos
are
untouchable. Yeah. They are so good. Crawfish tacos with the sassy sauce.
Yes. Sassy sauce?
I will be there after this. Thank you so much.
I could not recommend that taco highly enough.
Oh,
it is so incredible. Please go enjoy. Local business. It is, you know, very local LA people, family run. I could not be a bigger fan of Sky's Tacos. And it's just snuck in there on Pico. It's a great burger.
Pico and Hauser.
Thank you so much.
That's where it is.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Always great food abounds. Amy, how about you? What is something you think is underrated?
Something I think that is underrated is like doing things really badly and just enjoying them, but doing them. I feel like everybody,
Hell
there's
yeah.
so much like hustle or like, oh, I like to make arts and crafts. And then somebody's like, you guys just sell that on Etsy. I don't know. That's like what people used to say. Or, you know, I came up as like a writer and then it was like, well, so how do you monetize? Whatever. And I was just like, you know what? Doing things real bad, but like having fun while doing them is the actual awesomest thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's always like my, like any sport or any activity. This is something that I feel like was super important for Love and Norebang, actually, because like it's actually no fun if somebody's a great singer.
Right.
Like you're supposed to suck. Yeah. You're supposed to just go out there and like sing, you know, it's just like a, it's vibes water in a Norebang. Whatever the vibes water of choice is in the Norebang. Yes. But like, I think it is so essential to
for
go.
For me, Makgeolli and height.
There you go.
Yeah, good old height.
Height is the best.
A lot of makgeolli, though. I love makgeolli.
Me, too. You know, you can, now they come in great little seltzery, like slightly carbonated cans. You can get all kinds of flavor.
That's trouble.
The other thing that they're selling now is, you know, those little like yogurts that come in the little plastic with the red? Mixing that with soju.
Yeah.
Oh, like the one-to-one shot.
Wait, are we starting a canned drink company together?
I think so.
We should.
Okay, Justin, we need to cut this part out of the episode. These are stellar ideas.
These ideas are gold.
Yeah, I like you're underrated because basically what it is, it's like, remember play?
Yeah.
Like having fun?
Yeah.
Remember having fun.
Everything is too high stakes or like in the pursuit of like commodifying our skills or something like that when like to your point, like, I think for most people, the last time you did something not good and didn't give a shit was when you're a kid because you are playing and you're not doing something to like assess your abilities. And I think that's like a really important thing. It's like you lose sight of just having fun rather than, is this an assessment of what I can do? And like, that's a whole other fucking stress.
Or like, should we be spending time doing this? Like, is this a valuable pursuit? Or like, am I being the most efficient or productive or like maxing out on this? I'm like, no, Just do it. Just
kill the capitalist in your brain.
It's very hard. I mean, like,
are you being efficient?
Oh, I hate being efficient, except I am all the time because I'm programmed. Also, I think that's the thing about being a mashup and being an immigrant kid is that like you just like achieve. And so being bad at something is not something that like you're raised to do. No, it's like,
are you kidding me? How much fucking money I spent in therapy to be like, I don't like to struggle in front of other people. And I never will, to the point where I will become inert. And you, because you start achieving at such a level, you almost like cauterize that a bit, like your ability to just do anything, because you're like, nah, every single thing I have to do has to be out the fucking park. Because I was raised on a steady diet of like, you better fucking do 9 times better than everybody else if you're going to get half the shit they get. And then you're like, yeah.
See, the problem with that I struggle with is I'm like, sometimes they're not wrong. And then you're like, shit, I got to do 9 times better. But it doesn't, it like that reality still shouldn't impact our ability to play.
Never.
Amen. And that's the thing about representation, which you're a little Hapa Japanese kid in Up and also
Russell.
Yeah.
Is that we also should be able to be represented to be mediocre.
100%.
Like just sometimes people suck out there and that's also real.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Man, the pressure on me to do good at golf or basketball and shit.
Our friend Jenny Yang has a saying for it that she coined called the rep sweats. When you like see one of your own out there and they're not doing good and you're like,
oh, God,
just start sweating.
You're like,
oh,
I don't know them. I don't know them. I got to go. Oh, my phone's ringing. I have to leave here.
We always call that inside voices, too. Like the stuff where inside, you could be like, oh, God, they're terrible. You have to like represent. You're like, no, they're fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
it's
good. Right.
They're fine.
And that's fine for them. I'm not judging them. Like, I know their parents would be right now. I would never judge them. Yeah, not I. I'm very relaxed. What is something you think is overrated?
I would say I think spoilers, like no spoilers are overrated. I like to know what's going to happen at the end. It helps me relax into watching something.
Less tension
allows me to really embrace the moment. And that's something that Amy and I have to overcome in the 9 years of our partnership is that now her daughter's like me. And so I'm like, just call me up. I'll tell you, yes, Cinderella's going to get the guy. She's going to get him. And there is tension.
And then I'm like, why are you showing her princess movies? And then yes. It's just too late. It's too late.
It's too late. So that's all. I just feel like it's overrated not having a spoiler. I'm like, I want a spoiler. That's all. Anyways.
I feel that.
Thank you.
I don't, I mean,
that's why she loves rom-coms.
Love.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because they're...
Fan happy.
Like, yeah, they're like looking at like a, I don't know, like a Where's Waldo book. You're like, yeah, I know. Like, sure, the scene is different, but I know Waldo's somewhere in here and it's familiar.
Yeah, like miscommunication. Everyone needs to go to therapy, but they don't. Then they figure it out. They find each other. They're in love. And then they're happy and they're singing a song at karaoke. And that is what I'm interested in exploring right now as a human being. Thank you so much.
Respect. Yeah, because no one's like, I get like certain things. I'm trying to think. I remember when I saw The Sixth Sense, someone was like, you know, he's dead, right? Before I saw it. And I was like, what? And it didn't make sense. I was like, oh, my bad. You didn't see it. And I was like, what the fuck? So in my mind, I was like, what is he talking about? And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. But then I wasn't like, oh, shit. Like, that completely fucked up the thing for me. So it's like, even like those moments where it feels like that's like the whole fucking, the whole point of watching that. I was still like, okay, that's cool. Like, yeah. I'm never mad, like, seeing an art piece like in a book before seeing it in person.
No, thank you so much.
Different experiences completely.
Thank you for supporting me. And also, I get a lot of
tension.
Oh, I'm
saying no. Hold on. I hate the shit out of spoilers.
Oh, no.
But I'm just saying I get where you're coming from.
I would like to add to Becca's point real fast also. And like, I feel like the whole like no spoilers conversation comes up super heavy in like superhero movie culture and like nerd movie culture. And I would just like to say that despite the fact that, sure, you don't want whatever movie spoiled for you, when it comes to like superhero movies, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen? It's a movie where someone has a 10-movie contract that they're filling out. You think they're going to lose? Yeah. You think they're going to lose the fight? They're going to go up against something. It's going to be, oh, no, I almost didn't win. And then they're going to win.
You are, yeah.
Spoiler alert?
Thank you.
It also kind of feels like a spoiler alert. Somebody spoiling it is just like, it's just an excuse to get mad.
Mm, yeah.
Like just to jump on people, be like, oh, you spoiled the thing. I feel like it's just, we have so much madness inside of us. We're just trying to find more like rules to put around it.
Absolutely. And anybody who, like, if it really is that important to your being that things aren't spoiled for you, like anything, if something's important to you, you know how to avoid that shit in your own self-interest. Like, I don't like certain sports scores being like, if I have a game recorded, I know to not fucking look at Twitter. I know to not check. People who I've like, I talk with about it, they'll be like, hey, are you watching it live? And I say, no, shut the fuck up. And then they know. And then I'm fine because I know how to fucking keep my blinders on. But I guess for others, it's more like, I need everything to passively be what I will. And any effort is too much because everything was done for me. How about you, Amy? What's something you think is overrated?
I would like everything to be done passively the way that I like it. Yes, right now. This is a weird thing to say on a news show. But, and I really am realizing now that I sound like I'm like promoting mediocrity in all areas, but I think it's overrated to be like too on top of current events. There's just too much. I actually, like, this is, I have this conversation with my therapist, which is just, she was like, after some, you know, really horrible stuff that had happened in our world, like in the spring, she was like, you know, reading more about it isn't going to help. Like, you know what you know. And like, I think getting every single like news push from like the Times or whatever, or being like, I'm totally addicted to Twitter. So I'll be like scrolling all day and I'm like, oh, what happened here? Did this happen? And it's just like, I don't think it's good for us.
No.
And it's definitely not good for me personally. So I'm just like, okay, it's okay if I find out something 12 or 24 hours later.
Absolutely.
Like, also, what does that mean? And it's just, it's like a weird competition one-upness that I think it happens to a lot of people in media where you're just like, I gotta know the thing. I gotta be the first. I gotta do this. Right. I gotta have my take. And then it's just like, but do you really? Like, unless you're really gonna add something, I'm just okay, let it, like, maybe it can sit for a while and you can go out and like touch grass and live your life for a second.
100%.
Amen. Touch grass.
Yeah.
I mean,
TG.
Feels important.
Yes.
TG,
please.
Reach out.
I totally agree with you. I mean, like, granted, I'm on top of everything, but there are boundaries and limits to how I interact with the news. Like,
I'm not.
So
I'm
what
not
are your
on,
what are your big boundaries? Like, how do you stay sane?
Oh, I don't. I'm not looking at Twitter at night. I'm not looking. I stop looking at the news around 3 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. Unless like shit's so blowing smart. Up in a text thread and people are like, yo, did you see this? But I'm not. I spend most of my day just getting caught up. And then after that, I'm like, whatever, I'll catch it in the morning. Like, I don't need to know everything. And that's another thing is I think we all just as humans, we have like a terrible impulse to like ruminate on problems. Mm-hmm. And so that rumination also extends to like current events where we're like, well, this is how I solve a problem is I think nonstop about it. And then maybe right. something will appear from me just thinking constantly about it. And typically the only thing I get from that is like dread. So yes. part of it is saying, yeah, okay, that's what happened. That will stay happening. But I also need to then look out for myself. And I think mostly it's really just in the name of like self-care is really connecting the idea that one is actually antithetical to the other. Like if you right. want to stay chronically online, unless you're built a completely different way, chances are you will burn out emotionally at some point.
Yeah.
And I've definitely experienced that for sure.
Although I will say last week was the first week where I refreshing the Alex Jones verdict.
Oh, I was she like, was so I was, happy. I was she like, was just like I was laughing, like, hold on, there. So she cried.
The jury's out. No,
we were living for
it. It was good eating. It was good eating last week. Very good. Good eating this week. Good yep. eating this week too. You know, I'm like, oh, really? They're like, there's a narc in the MAGA world. We're like, yeah. Of course there is. Wow. Are y'all really the FBI? They're like, first time. that just first time hearing about them, but I've yet to see the GOP evoke COINTELPRO as a reason that we need to move away from the FBI. When will that happen? I don't know. How deep will they go in the FBI's history to find something truly unsavory? Anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll bring super producer Trisha into the show right after this.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. So last week we were talking about the state of Kansas, the voters there. There was a, you know, voter referendum there to basically amend the state constitution. They said, yeah, you know what? No one can get an abortion. But luckily, overwhelmingly, that amendment or proposed amendment was defeated. And everyone was like, wow, great. I'm glad we're setting a baseline that a majority of people knew what time it was to vote, even though they were very, very intentionally trying to confuse voters by putting it during a primary. Because if you're a non-affiliated voter, you might have been like, well, this is like the party primaries. Can I go and vote on this amendment? And because the state has mathematically more Republicans and Democrats, they're like, this is the perfect time. We'll have more Republicans energized to vote on this. No one will show up. And guess what? That didn't happen. But to talk a little bit more about referendums, we've got to bring in Trisha Mukherjee. Thank you so much for coming, Super Producer Trisha. How are you?
Wow, what an intro. Hello, everyone. How are you? Good to be back.
Yeah. What wisdom can you drop on us with your actual journalistic abilities rather than my over-caffeinated screams I do?
Oh, my gosh. No, I love listening to your over-caffeinated
Please don't.
No, I'm serious. Okay, so like everyone else, I was watching and reading about the results of the referendum in Kansas. Basically, what happened, as you said, Miles, was that there is an amendment proposed to the Constitution to basically ban abortion. And the voters came in and they basically said no. It was an unambiguous rejection of this amendment that would ban abortion. And 58% of people voted no. So that's quite a lot, considering how close elections usually are.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that this referendum may have gone through, it's a little hard to say this for sure, but perhaps representatives expected low voter turnout and an easy passage of the amendment. And it turns out that's not what happened, thankfully. Mm-hmm. So anyway, watching this, I was kind of intrigued. Like, I was basically just curious, what is the power of referendums now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned and a lot of abortion rights is up to the states? Do we have hope using referendums to perhaps minimize the damage of the Supreme Court decision? Now, thinking of states like Kansas, a lot of people on the coasts might kind of give up on them because, you know, we call a lot of these states flyover states. We don't really pay a ton of attention to them. We think of them as maybe a lost cause for causes like abortion. And Kansas does lean Republican. It does lean conservative. Prior to 2020, it voted for a Democrat for president only once in 70 years.
Yeah.
So the fact that voters in Kansas turned out and said, we do want to preserve abortion in our state, makes us think, like, how can this play out in other states? And how can we use referendums, which actually are more democratic than our current systems of Supreme Court justices, who are just like nine people who are totally out of touch with the actual world, or politicians who take money, you know,
or like these political creatures that are funded by like the darkest interests. And they're like, yeah, that's a judge who we think has good judgment, or at least knows what team they're on, right?
Yeah, like, this is totally fair.
Right.
No, not at all. So I started looking into, you know, what would happen if we had a referendum at a national level. And that answer was really clear. We just wouldn't have an abortion ban because 65% of voters support abortion rights in the U.S. Now, if we go a little bit further down to the state level, according to an analysis by the New York Times, if all the states were given a referendum about abortion, only 7 states would vote to significantly restrict abortion. And so that number, 7 states, is compared to 26 states that are predicted to roll back abortion after the Supreme Court decision, which is a huge difference. That's like 40% of the total country's states that are only potentially rolling back abortion rights because the people don't get a direct voice. It is those vested political interests making decisions. So in reality, can we rely on referendums? The short answer is yes, but also no.
I was hoping you could have just said yes. And
like, all I right. wish.
Woo, that was clean. Okay, I love that.
Wouldn't that be simple? End of story.
Right.
But so in the U.S., there's 26 states which have referendum processes. Most of them are in the western part of the country, so not really any of the East Coast states. And a lot of those states that do have the referendum processes are the ones where abortion might be restricted after Roe v. Wade was overturned. So some of those states are Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and a few more. And in fact, referendum is actually going to be in play because four states have put abortion directly on the ballot in November.
Yeah.
And those ones are California, Michigan, and Vermont. Those are going to ask voters whether to affirm the right to abortion. And Kentucky, good old Kentucky, is going to ask voters if they want to reject the right to abortion. So definitely if you're in those states, make sure to vote. That is super, super important 100%. On that referendum.
And I mean, I know referendums to be a slippery slope, you right. know, because in California, we have the ballot proposition process where we do see a lot of things that can feel like positive legislative opportunities, but really can be bankrolled again by moneyed interests.
Exactly.
So in that sense, we do also have to contend with just sort of like the double-edged sword of how these operate as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, one great example of that is Brexit, just looking across the pond. Right.
Oh, like, gosh.
We do not want Brexit to happen again. And you can just imagine throughout history, if we had referendums for all these big moral issues,
right.
how much like hateful law would be embedded into our state and federal constitutions.
Right.
So it's definitely not an end-all, be-all.
Right.
But in some cases, such as in abortion, especially, you know, where so many people are against abortion restrictions, it does hold a lot of power. And maybe I can give you one example of that, which is in Ireland. So back in 1983, a lot of people in Ireland were getting kind of freaked out because in the rest of the world, policies are becoming very liberal towards abortion. And a lot of these Catholic leaders are like, no, we don't want that. Let's amend the Constitution ASAP right now. And they did. So we can't ever quantify just the pain and suffering that came from that constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. But what we do have was this one case that really overturned public opinion. It was a woman named Savita Halappanavar who lived in Ireland. She was admitted to the hospital 17 weeks pregnant, and she was basically having a miscarriage. And she was getting infected. She was really suffering health-wise, and her health was declining very fast. But because the doctors could still hear the fetal heartbeat, they couldn't help her at all. They couldn't just basically induce or perform an abortion, even though they knew that it was already a miscarriage and that the pregnancy was lost. And so she and her husband were waiting in the hospital for a few days just in severe pain. And in the end, she died because by the time the fetal heartbeat couldn't be detected anymore, her body had been infected. And, you know, this is such a tragic case. We talk about how people should be allowed to have abortions for whatever reason. Just the fact mm-hmm. that you don't want a kid is simply enough. But when you hear about cases like this, it's like, fuck, this is
compounds
really bad.
A tragedy. Yeah, for sure.
Right. So then there is a referendum in Ireland, and there's this new wave of activism that really, really surged up in efforts to repeal the Eighth Amendment, which was that one that banned abortion. And after a lot of campaigning, the amendment was repealed with a vote of 66%. And this is a huge victory because if it was just up to elected representatives, maybe the life of a fetus would still get priority over the life of a parent.
Mm. I think it's just really the conversation in the U.S. It's wild how much we're already kind of hearing the human cost of the Dobbs decision already. And I think in the United States, we're always wondering what will it take for people to actually understand what's at stake here? Because it's sort of like this pattern of like, well, that's this other group. It couldn't possibly be me. And then even when there are stories that are real, people are like very quick to be like, that couldn't have happened. That's not real. That's too horrific for me to believe. And I don't want my beliefs to align with a reality like that. But I think what is great, and I think was really heartening, like as is the case in Kansas, was the referendums, like they
they offer people an opportunity to voice their concern or their support for something. And a lot of the times it goes against sort of like the accepted wisdom where people were like, Kansas is a red state. It's never going to happen. Where meanwhile, right. when you really look, it's a very vital place for many people in the South and Midwest to have safe abortion access as well. And yeah, I think it also helps us realize that there are these like talking points that come out of political parties, but there are certain things that are just accepted across the board where a majority of the millions of people that live here are like, No, I believe bodily autonomy is like an inalienable right. Or I believe that people should, no matter who you want to marry, if you are happy and you are married, whatever you want to define that as, please go ahead. But yeah, like I think to the point that we're sort of making here is this a potential way to explore more ways for people to be able to support these kinds of broader issues that we all seem to agree on.
Yeah, exactly. Because, right, if you think about the origin of our current political system, like we go back to the founding fathers and basically they're saying, oh, anyone who's not a man, anyone who's not white, anyone who doesn't own property and isn't educated shouldn't have a voice. Like those are the right. people who we need to somehow suppress. And that's why they chose the elected representative system versus direct democracy, which would be more of a referendum type thing. Right. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't have direct democracy here because then they'd be like, what? They don't like being poor and exploited and want better outcomes for themselves and their families.
Right.
Can't do that here. Well, Tricia, thank you so much for stopping by with some more reporting and opening our eyes a little bit further. Always appreciate you.
Amen. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Of course. Well, and we'll be right back to talk a little bit about the MAGA dating scene after this.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Republicans dating. Not a thing. Really, I guess. If you are a really sad fascist this week and you are just devastated by the news that law enforcement occasionally comes for rich white people and you're single, this week may not be all bad, actually, because that's right. As if no one fucking asked, because they didn't. Former White House press secretary Kayleigh McEnany's sister, okay,
hell
Ryan,
yeah.
She's out here.
How many N's? You got to spell it.
There we go.
R, it's like a seven N's because it's like, and this is our daughter, Ryan. She's out here hawking a new product for single MAGAs. And we saw this teased before because Peter Thiel was investing in this dating platform called The Right Stuff.
Ugh.
You know, because all of us are down with New Kids on the Block and we can get that cool reference. But he's backing it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Bingo.
But yes, this is like, so Peter Thiel's been investing in this. And this is another app in a long line of failed dating apps that's tailored to bigots. And we talk about this every time they come up. I remember in the beginnings, when the Trump administration first began, there were all these like pieces that were like, what it's like to be a Republican trying to date in the Beltway.
Those was my favorite genre, though, because then they would say, and then the person saw on, you know, on Tinder or whatever that I am a Republican or work in the Trump administration,
right.
And they dumped me. And I was like, yeah, that is a joy.
Yeah, no
this is
shit.
Joyful. This means joy.
They didn't like my Twitter bio said, Mexicans are bad. And they took a problem with that. And they said, I'm racist. I don't understand. I deserve to be loved too, even though my whole personality is built on dehumanizing others. But there was this one app called Writer, okay, R-I-G-H-T-E-R. And this their tagline was, quote, when you're tired of getting swiped left, when you're tired of getting swiped left on for your political beliefs, use Writer. Okay, fine. Then there was Donald Daters, if you remember.
No.
Donald Daters,
no.
Really?
Yes. The founder said this, the need that they said, quote, I saw a real need for this. People who go on the mainstream apps, they're told, if you're a Trump supporter, swipe left. That app's data got fucking hacked like 3 days after launching, and it was a total embarrassment. If you look, these accounts, like their Twitters haven't been active since like 2019. So it's definitely a struggle out there for the racists. And, you know, I don't feel for them, but I understand the investment opportunity for people like Peter. But it's very definitely hard in this dating scene. And it's, again, like I'm saying, we're all about vibes. It's almost like when your whole identity is like, these are non-humans.
Vibes.
These are non-humans. That's not a fuckable vibe. I'm sorry for most people.
Very, very unfuckable.
And I get other people might be like, I am also backwards and hate. But I have a feeling those couples aren't really going to, I don't think a relationship
built
on hate.
There's a deep connection there.
Yeah.
More underlying issues.
Just wish them nothing. Like, I feel like they shouldn't be allowed to buy Apple products. They shouldn't be like, whenever I see like a like Ivanka wearing an Apple Watch, I'm like, you shouldn't be allowed to have nice things.
Oh, yeah.
No. I just feel like they should not be allowed to have anything. I have a very, really rich fantasy about what happens through punishment, like turning all the Trump buildings into housing for homeless
folks, and all the
golf courses into parks, and you know, all that. They're just very rich. It's rich, and he has to watch
the proletarian
it all.
Takeover.
Yeah, he has to watch it all from jail. But that being said, I wish them no love. And and I also am assuming that it has a horrible design interface and somehow is like a terrible experience.
Okay,
for everybody.
Well, guess what?
Bad UI.
The UI looks pretty dope. You want to know how I know? Because I'm watching the promo video and you're going to have to watch a part of it too right now with me. And
what?
Those of you, listen in because here's Ryan McEnany, Ryan with nine N's.
There is two N's. Oh my goodness.
Out here. This is like kind of like a chopped up version of the ad.
What is she wearing? What's happening?
A straight jacket.
It is I don't know what you, what do you call that? Like a biker?
It's a double breasted?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, check her out. And this is her kind of giving you a pitch on why you should go to Hateration, the dater app or whatever.
Guys, I'm Ryan. I've got to tell you about something I am so excited to announce. A dating app for all of us conservatives. It's called The Right Stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's launching this September.
Okay.
What I love most about it is that it's invite only.
Ooh.
Not just anyone can join. First of all, it's free to use.
This looks like a tampon ad.
You'll never have to pay.
For my ladies, you'll never
all get premium subscriptions for simply inviting a couple friends. Gentlemen, if you want access to premium, that's on you.
That's on you, fam.
Those are the only two options, ladies and gentlemen.
Ow!
Getting into the right dating.
That's a stock photo. I did a Google image search.
The same start off by building your perfect profile. No pronouns necessary.
Okay.
Also, is access to premium a euphemism? A sexy euphemism?
That's on you.
You want access to premium?
I like how they run it like a shitty nightclub where it's like ladies in free before nine as long as the ratios are good. Fellas thirst outside and then come in and be insufferable because the discrepancy between who pays and who doesn't is only adding to your hatred of women. I don't know.
So here's my thing about things like this. It's like a question. Like, why aren't they embarrassed? Like, why is this a thing that people are doing publicly? Because they're so proud of being unattractive.
You have to lean into it, right? Because you will never see, like, I mean, you see Republicans, they do the victim thing when it, like, serves them. But in this instance, they can't just say, this is so fucked up. Just because all of my values don't align with a majority of other people out there looking for a romantic partner doesn't mean I have to suffer. And it's easier to say, guess what? We're all pieces of shit. And that's fine. Welcome to pieceofshitdater.com.
Piece of shit club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're like, everyone's a piece of shit. So you're never going to have to hear about why you're a piece of shit.
Yeah,
that's like the whole, you know, safe space mentality of this is just to lean into it and say nothing's wrong with what we believe.
But also, I also feel like in our, you know, I have friends who, so we're in New York and LA, friends outside of Chicago, say, who are trying to date. And everybody who pops up is like, and I wish there was a no vax sticker you could have, or they're like somebody in like a, I can't say, problematic shirts of. Yeah. And it's all completely conservative. And he's actually struggling to find somebody who's not like that. So I think it's so contextual, too. It's this victimization piece, which is that's the part where I'm like, I'm sure you could find people in the normal setting if you weren't a piece of shit.
The recent thing, like, again, I feel like it shouldn't be a surprise to you if your worldview is some people don't deserve shit. Why you live in a reality where you're experiencing some kind of deficit of human attention. I don't know. That might have something to do with it on a subconscious level. I'm not a fucking guru. But I just love
you are mine now.
But like this idea though with like conservatives now, like, and you know, we saw tough guy Ted Cruz be like, and you know what my pronouns are? They're kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
Okay, asshole. Let me guess. You're so fucking secure in your fucking masculinity. I can only imagine, because pronouns don't exist, how one of these MAGA patriot fuckwads would be if everyone misgendered them with the wrong pronouns. If that would they be like, and that's fine, man, because that doesn't matter. Because like fuck pronouns, like, okay. Because I would imagine with your very heteronormative worldview that if someone referred to you as, oh, she's mad over and over, are you going to be like, that's fine. I don't care. That completely doesn't even matter to me. That's not part of my identity at all because I don't even know what a pronoun is linguistically.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are any people on Rhiannon, I already forgot the name.
Yeah, that's how Rhiannon's useless app. Yeah.
Rhiannon and its app.
The right stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Hanging in tough that are not white.
No.
The
one test person they had.
Herschel
like,
Walker's son.
Christian. Well, no, but I believe, is he not openly gay or is he not gay? We're talking about Christian Walker?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that's right. So he's not
allowed. Well, I'm not going to speculate, but either way, I'm not sure who is going to be on that app. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot. Look, there are plenty of, as I've seen it myself, plenty of people with self-consuming, inward-focused white supremacy that takes over their mind. So they may be there, and you know, that's like the coolest person on the app.
Do they get premium access?
Yeah, not if they have a penis. Sorry, you have to pay with all the other losers. But I think what's another interesting thing is there's analysis too about dating, how it's generally it's skewing more like men. There are going to be more lonely men, as just like if you're looking very narrowly at like cis
relationships. Oh, but wasn't it because like your standards are women's standards are going up?
Or just have like more realistic boundaries, like not willing to put up with bullshit. So then there's like men who are like, I was raised like fucking with no skills of self-awareness. Also, the world is changing around me. Maybe I can go to my app called caveperson.com.
My dick is small.
Yeah.
Right.
If the outcome of all this is we have less shitty dudes. Thumbs way up.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, the problem with that, though, is that I mean, so I'm reading a book right now, as Rebecca knows, it's called The Men. Mm-hmm. And it came out earlier this year. And I believe it's Sandra Newman, Newhouse. I'm so sorry. I'll look it up. I'll have it by the end of this. But it's
Sandra Newman.
Sci-fi about if all the men disappeared one day, right. Every single person with a Y chromosome disappeared in the same moment from the face of the earth. And also like, pregnancies disappeared and like all Y chromosomes disappeared.
Shout out the XX.
Love 818XX. But it's like the idea that all of these shitty men go away is a great one. Except the problem is that in our world, the shitty men don't go away. They like band together and become triply shitty and violent to everybody else. We got to like fix the shitty men.
Yeah,
but if they're on caveman.com, then how do we get to them?
Caveman.com. Well, hopefully then their technologies won't evolve past sticks and stones. And like, they'll be frightened to death at the sight of a fucking flashlight.
Right.
And that's how we beat them.
I'll strike a match.
Yeah, exactly. Like, like, exactly. I'm a demon that you heard about in your cave stories. Well, Amy and Becca, thank you so much for joining us today on the Daily Zeitgeist. It's been awesome having you. Please come back. We'd love to talk with y'all more. Where can people find you and follow you and listen to your work?
You can find us at Mashup American or mashupamericans.com. And you can find our show, Love and Norebang, our newest show, which is this rom-com with L.A. is the narrator, played by Randall Park, who is another Los Angeles supremacist. It's starring Justin Min and Francia Riza, two other Angelinos. And it's all just about mashup love. And spoiler alert, it ends happy. So,
also fellow Bruin Randall Park. Shout out Randall.
Yes, he Shout is. And you can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. So that's a little. Anything else, Amy?
LoveAndNorebang.com.
And you can find her at Awesome Choi. I just can't bring myself to do Twitter because it might kill me.
It's all good. Self-care.
Good for you.
And are there any tweets or that you'd like to shout out that you've been enjoying recently?
Oh, boy. I really enjoyed Beto screaming at the heckler.
Funny to you, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. I was like, I think that's like the energy I need in my life everywhere is just calling somebody out exactly in the moment, exactly how they should be, and with no diplomacy. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amy?
Oh, well, you know, we started off this whole conversation with splooting and blimpology. But in that vein, my favorite tweet that I've seen recently was of a turtle getting like scrubbed by a veterinarian of all the algae. And it's just a turtle like all blissed out, like getting scrubbed with a toothbrush. And it just really reminded me of my other favorite activity after Norebang, which is Jimjilbang, and how bad I need to go and get all of the scrubbed off my body. So I retweeted it. So if you go to Awesome Choi, you'll see it. And you'll see the blissfulness of this turtle getting his algae scrub.
And you'll also see a crab wiping the sand off its eyeballs.
I like these little animal videos.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, it gives me joy.
Yeah.
Well, there's something, like, it reminds you, like, I'm watching this turtle video now. It, like, reminds you of, like, being a kid and, like, your mom's like, let me cut your fingernails.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
And you're like, she's like, let me clean your ears.
And you're like, okay. Oh, my God. Did your moms clean them with the little scoop?
The bamboo stick? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's Asian mom. That's an Asian mom situation.
If you don't got that bamboo stick with the little down feather.
With the cotton puff at the end? Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck is that for? My mom never used that. And I'm like, the fuck is that for?
I think it's like for dusting. Flex
I need to be put on game. I need
maybe. Well, the other thing too is wax styles are different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because my mom, when she cleaned my ears, she'd always be like, she'd be saying, like, you got like American people ears. Because I didn't have like the Asian kind of earwax.
Wait, Miles, surprise, do you have to wear deodorant?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got to.
Oh, you are not blessed. You are not blessed.
I can wear shoes with no socks, though.
Oh, that's good.
And then not stink them up. Yeah. So, you know,
you're halfway
I'll get
there.
It where I can take it. I get it where I can take it. And you best believe I cook using those long ass kitchen chopsticks. Mm-hmm. Let me know one time if you got that pair. Okay. Let's see. Daniel.
Yes.
My man, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're I got scared.
A true legend, mate. You already know. Where do they find you? What's all that? What's the tweet you like? Let them know.
Man, you can find me at the same old places on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, regrettably, at DJ_Danl, DANL. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/DJ_DANL. Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, playing video games, playing Dungeons & Dragons, having conversations, building computers, the usual, a little bit of everything. I got two tweets for you. Mm-hmm. One is from Emma Berquist, at EE Berquist. Love being off Twitter a couple days, logging back on and immediately seeing takes like bookshelves are performative. It's like remembering why you stopped hanging out with that one friend who was always trying to fight the bouncer.
Oh, and fuck.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't even.
Yo, what? I hung out with that homie way too long. Where every time you're like, yo, is he trying to fight somebody again?
Oh, can we just not, please?
Every time. We came to a pinball bar because we didn't think it would be turned up enough, and he still found it.
We're playing pinball. Chill. Yeah. The second one, and this is actually a shout out to something we were talking about earlier. This is from legend Marcella Arguello at Marcella Comedy.
Love her.
Love Marcella. She,
love
truly,
her.
Shout out to the woke bully, the legend. You know what else I don't understand? When people go to a restaurant a million times, but only leave a review for the one bad experience they had, I don't trust you.
Right.
I feel that. What's up with that?
Okay.
You should leave a million reviews. This place was great. Went back. Yeah. Great again. Went back for the 12th time. It was great again.
Unreliable narrative.
Truly.
Narrator.
Truly unreliable narrator.
I'll do a plug for Marcella because I love her so much, but she her HBO Marcella. Special is coming up soon.
Yeah.
She just recorded it in New York. I don't know the exact date. I wish I did, but she is a queen and everybody should listen to her album.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll have her when that drops because Marcella is a great, great guest.
She's a great guest
of the show.
Great roast.
Okay, let me see some tweets that I like. These some tweets that I like. Soul Nate, M. Nate Shyamalan tweeted, founder of Costco, drunk as hell. It's going to have hot dogs and optometrists. Fuck yeah, man. Like, let's do that. Kat Damon at Corn on the Goblin tweeted, telling a joke to a classroom. What does a cowboy cat say? Kindergartner. Giddy up. Me about to say meowdy. Meow. Wait. What the fuck did you just say? and then one for Mariana at It's Mariana with four N's. Wow, that's more than Ryan McEnany. Tweeted, being a stoner is fun because if I have a horrible day, I make myself feel better with weed. And if I have a good day, I reward myself with weed. Shouts to that. Facts. Shouts to the plant. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can find, you know, Jack and I on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our basketball podcast. You can also find me on 420 Day Fiance. If you like 90 Day Fiance, you like weed, you want to hear two immigrant kids scream about trash reality TV, check out 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra and myself. Also, find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Yo, did Jack miss that yesterday? I feel like he may have missed it because he was so sick. Somebody roll back the tape. If that happened, that was legendary. That's how sick this man was.
No flu game for him.
Yes. Episodes, footnotes, where you can find all the articles we talk about as well as the song we ride out on. We're going to go out on a track by an artist named Leia Sen. This track is called I Feel Like I'm Blue. And if you like Fantagram, if like Fantagram and like Portishead, or like if Portishead got into like DIY beats, this is kind of like what the vibe would be. So this is I Feel Like I'm Blue by Leah Sen. Two words. And I believe London-based artist. So shout out to London. All right, y'all. We will be back later to tell you what is trending. And also, Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them, free. We'll see you later to tell you what's trending. All right. Peace. Happy Friday.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.